Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have the Lord in these very, very perilous times. As we've said so many times, it's like days we've not known before. And oh my, if we ever needed to trust the Lord, it is now. Oh yes, it's wonderful to know that we have the solid rock to hang on to put our confidence in, our trust. And no matter what, we know that our Lord is able to take us through. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for these moments, God. Oh, we thank you that we know that you are with us. Oh, God, in spite of these difficult times, oh, Lord, you are with us. Oh, God, to make a way, Lord, to take us through this wilderness of life. Oh, God, to give us hope, oh, Lord, no matter how dark the skies may get. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would give us that reassurance that we need from you tonight. I pray that you will talk to our hearts tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you give us that hope that we need to cling on to, Lord. Oh, Lord, help your people, Lord. Move in our lives. Help them, oh, Lord, that don't know how to get to you, Lord. How to turn, Lord. How to, oh God, make their path straight. Oh Lord, you know how to help those in dire need. Oh God, you know those that have sickness, pain, suffering, Lord. Oh God, you know all things, God. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd meet the needs of your people tonight. I pray that your presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that your perfect will would be done, Lord. Oh God, we need you, Lord. Oh God, we ask that thy will would be done, Lord. And oh God, that you would move tonight, oh Lord. Oh God, thy perfect will be done in our hearts and our lives. Oh God, that you change the things that need to be changed. Show us the things that we need to see. Oh Lord, give us discernment in these times. Help your people, Lord. Oh, you know about the struggles, Lord. Help your people, Lord Jesus. I ask that you be here, Lord. Oh, that you use these words, that you give me words, Lord. I know I could do nothing without you, Lord. And I ask for thy help here tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, have your way, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. Oh, God, touch your people, Lord. Touch those that are sick. Oh, God, touch those that have dreadful illnesses, Lord. Oh, God, thou knowest. I pray that you move, Lord, with your Spirit, Lord, to meet every need, to fill with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, to bring repentance and deliverance, oh, God, to those that are bound. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. We are really blessed to know the Lord in these very troubled times. You know, it's really something when I'm studying. A lot of times I think I'm going to go one particular direction, and you know, it just seems like the Lord will start giving me verses, and then, you know, it'll be another verse, and then another one, and you know, quite often it seems like it goes much differently than I originally thought it would. But praise the Lord, we're going to call this message Obedience to the Will of God. Praise the Lord. Obedience to the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there is something that the Lord does expect of his people. Many things that he expects, but there must be an obedient spirit before we could ever begin to please the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Let's turn to a verse here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7 here to begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read just a few verses from this chapter, as far as I know. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 20 here to begin here. It says, verse 20, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beasts, upon the trees of the fields, and upon the fruit of the ground, it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Verse 23, let's note this. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels, in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ears, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Oh my, yes, it goes on to describe all the deeds that were done in the high places that had been built in Tophath and all the abominable things that they were doing in the eyes of the Lord, even in the house that was called by the Lord's name, and how, yes, they were even burning their sons and daughters in the fire. Oh, something that God had absolutely forbidden. But oh my, yes. All these things bring about God's judgment. But here in this seventh chapter of the book of Jeremiah, it's emphasized that reality that God had not been looking for the burnt offerings or sacrifices when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it declares in verse 23 again, there was one thing that he commanded them. There was a great expectation that he had of them. And that was, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Oh, how wise it is to follow that advice. Even at this time, oh my, if people would only listen to the voice of the Lord, if they would only give heed to the things that are written in the book of life, in the scripture, in the Bible, if they'd only listen. And instead of listening to their own will and their own inclinations and that which is popular, that which pertains to the trends of the moment, oh, if they would only listen to the things that God has commanded and walk in his ways, all his ways, as he commanded, that it would be well, that it would be well. Oh, there's something about it. Yes, God had said, if you do the things that are good and walk in my ways and obey my voice, I'm going to bless you. And here I'm paraphrasing just to emphasize that point. But you know, on the other hand, if they did all the abominable things and they disobeyed the voice of the Lord and walked after their own ways and rebelled, they would be cursed. And how it is, you know, as it clearly indicates here in this seventh chapter of the book of Jeremiah, how they hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. And all that rebellious spirit that was within those children of Israel, even though God had showed himself in a mighty way unto them, doing great things for them, oh, showing great wonders. Oh, yes. hoping that they would indeed obey his voice and follow after him. But oh my, that really wasn't the case. And so it is unto this very moment. God still is expecting that his people would follow after his voice and do his will and not give heed to the whims of man, the inclinations of the heart, and all the other things that people are so inclined to do. But yet, even though it might mean that we would be despised and belittled and mocked and even persecuted, God wants us to walk in his ways and obey his voice and be obedient to his will. Amen. Let's look here for a little here at Luke, the 6th chapter. Verse here I want to read. Luke 6, and here it is, verse 46. It says in verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It's a question. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, if you just turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It is written here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, you know, we hear often of this thing, this easy religion, this simple believism that a lot of people cleave onto. But here Jesus is telling us very clearly that, you know, just, you know, saying Lord, Lord, just making a claim doesn't put you into the kingdom of heaven. But it's going to take some obedience, obviously. It says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And yes, he's talking about a people here that, you know, it looked like on the surface they were following the Lord. And even some that actually prophesied, supposedly in the name of the Lord, and even using his name to cast out devils, and also using his name to do many wonderful works. But yet, their hearts were not right with God. Oh, they had rebellion. They had sin in their hearts. Because Jesus said, regarding this type of person that doesn't do the will of God, that hasn't obeyed the will of God, that he would profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." And then he says, "Ye that work iniquity." Well, I think that's a very important clause there. Ye that work iniquity. You see, when we come to the Lord, when we really give our lives to the Lord, he's expecting us to turn from sin. You know, we're not supposed to just dabble in it and, you know, think we could get by with this and that and things that displease the Lord. But no, our God expects obedience. He's expecting those that come to him that want to say, Lord, Lord, that want to claim him as their Savior, that they would depart from iniquity and that they would obey the voice of the Lord, that they would do the will of our Father which is in heaven. Amen. But so often that isn't the case. There's a semblance of religion in a life, religiosity or whatever you want to call it. And you know, there's a pretense, and you know, it's like they try to put a cloak on to, you know, look like they're a Christian. But oh my, it goes deeper than that. Because yes, there has to be works that follow, works that verify the fact that you have indeed given your life over to the Lord. You know, John the Baptist, when the Pharisees and scribes came to him, he told them that it was necessary to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, oh yes, there was to be acts of repentance in their life before they could be baptized. And oh yes, I believe the Lord expects the very same thing today. Oh yes, that call to repentance. Repentance meaning turning away from the world, turning away from sin, truly giving your life over to the Lord. And yes, obeying the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, here in Matthew 7 and also in the passage that we read from Luke, Jesus goes on to tell us his parable of a wise man and a foolish man. If we continue to read it here in verse 24 here in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And I think right now, as we're hearing what's going on in this world, oh, all the confusion, and yes, the brink of a civil war, and all the division, and all the questions, and why isn't something being done? I mean, this country is being teared apart. But oh my, we better make sure our anchor holds in the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, we better make sure that our life is founded upon the sayings of Jesus Christ. And not only founded upon the sayings, but that we're doing them. Because oh yes, not only is it required that we hear them, but it is very much required that we do them. And praise the Lord, if we're anchored on the rock, Christ Jesus, when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon the house and vehemently, whatever all, the scripture tells us it's not going to fall. It's not going to fall because our anchor holds, because we've founded our life, our deeds, our doings upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Goes on to explain in verse 26, and on, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Well, yes, because it was not founded upon the sayings of the Lord Jesus. It was not found, oh yes, upon the commands that the Lord expected. Oh, so important it is that our lives be given over to the Lord Jesus, and we build our lives upon the rock Christ Jesus. Amen. I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel. Right now, 1 Samuel. And go into a little portion of scripture here in chapter 15. And here in this chapter, we know that Saul is king. He's been anointed to be king of Israel, but he hasn't done very well at this point. And it seems that in the midst of all of this, God is going to test him further. He's going to give him opportunity to obey him precisely, exactly. Oh, yes, and to change circumstances in his life. It's a test. And so Samuel is told by the Lord that, you know, there was that time. If we look at this 15th chapter of 1 Samuel and look at the second verse here, well, let's start with the first one so all is clear. It says, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, yes, this is what God had instructed Samuel to say to Saul. And now he's giving Saul an assignment here. Verse 3 tells us, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all. Excuse me. Destroy all that they have. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so the scripture goes on to tell us that Saul prepared to do this. And there was a very important detail here to be aware of here. We just look for a moment here, back in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And, of course, these are the words of Moses before he died. And, of course, as he's given this discourse to the children of Israel, he's bringing out issues that he wants them to remember. And also, yes, as God prompts him, I'm sure. But here, there is something that needed to be remembered precisely and exactly. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. It says, verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 25, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. So obviously, this was a very important detail that God expected them to take care of. And it's interesting, sometimes judgment lingers a long time. But God waits. You know, there is that day when, you know, it comes to that point when it will be brought out. And yes, God will avenge at that point. And obviously this that he had foreordained there concerning the Amalekites, you know, had not yet been done. And so here Saul, the first king of Israel, is given this assignment to go and smite Amalek and to utterly destroy them, and not to spare any of them. And, you know, he mentions all the humans plus all the animals. And so Saul gathers the people together and goes to act on this, which has been told him to do. And the thing is, he didn't completely do what God had commanded. It tells us in verse 8 that he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And he spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So you see, he's doing it according to his own judgment, not according to the exactness of God's commandments. So Samuel gave him this order, and you know, again, after it was supposedly completed, Samuel comes back. But before that, God speaks to Samuel and tells him that there's regret, that he has made Saul to be king because he has turned back from following me, God said, and he hath not performed my commandments. And, you know, this was great sorrow for Samuel when God told him this. It tells us in verse 11 that he cried unto the Lord all the night. But anyway, the next morning, obviously, Samuel rises to meet Saul. And let's just read this here. It says in verse 12 here, "And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Oh boy, who did he think he was fooling? And it tells us in verse 14, "And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of a sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, verse 17, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 20, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. For the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So he's blaming the people. Saul is blaming the people for that which was not fulfilled. Oh my, making them the scapegoat. Does this work in the eyes of God? No, this is what Samuel says in verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And oh my, it's a sad story. Saul does acknowledge that he had sinned, for he had transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel's words, because he feared the people and obeyed their voice. But then, you know, he asked that he could be pardoned and that he might worship the Lord. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it is a sad reality at times. People can go too far. What was in Saul's heart had gone too far. It had gone too far. And he was already at that point where God had rejected him for being king over Israel. Oh my, how important it is to obey the voice of the Lord. And as Samuel said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh, how important it is to obey. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to another example right now. And this is in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And here we have another story. And this is quite interesting. This involves Naaman. He's captain of the host of the king of Syria. And the scripture tells us that he was a great man. In other words, he was esteemed with his master and he was honorable. And, you know, the Lord had used him, you could say, to bring deliverance unto Syria. And yes, he was known for his valor, for his courage. But there was a problem. He was a leper. And it was that the Syrians had brought back captives into the land of Syria. And for one, there was a little maid out of the land of Israel that they had brought back. She happened to wait on Naaman's wife. And, you know, obviously, you know, having seems a heart for her mistress, and I would think Naaman too, you know, she said, at one point to that mistress, the woman that she waited on, in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." We see great faith in this little maid's heart, and obviously she knew that God was able to heal this man of this dreadful leprosy of which there was no hope. And of course, having heard that, the word was spread so that, you know, it came even to Naaman. And you know, they sent forth, the king of Syria actually had his men go forth and send a letter unto the king of Israel, and, you know, asking with, you know, also gifts that, you know, that they would heal Naaman of his leprosy. Well, the king of Israel doesn't know God. And then, you know, when this letter comes to him, he's in this great despair. He rends his clothes. You know, he knows he's not God. He's not capable of healing this man of his leprosy. And he's thinking that, oh my, the Syrians must just want to pick on us. They must be trying to start a war. But anyway, the news spread to Elisha, the man of God. He heard what went forth here in the land of Israel, this thing that the king of Israel was told, and how he rent his clothes. And so therefore, Elisha responds, because thank God there was somebody that knew God. There was somebody that knew how to touch God and knew the power of the living God. And praise the Lord. He sent a message to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou now rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So the message was spread to Naaman, and here he comes. He comes to the house of Elisha, and he comes to the door with his horses and with his chariot, and he's expecting, you know, a response. You know, he's expecting that Elisha's going to come out of his house and, you know, speak the words and he'll be healed. But Elisha doesn't do that. No, Elisha, it tells us in verse 10, sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Naaman didn't like this. Oh my, this is not what he was expecting, and he finds it to be an insult, and whatever all, and his flesh rebels against this thought. Oh my, he thought he was important. He thought, surely, you know, Elisha would come out and speak words and, you know, he'll let him be healed in the name of his Lord and the Lord our God in reality. But, you know, Naaman doesn't like what Elisha has told him to do. And, you know, he doesn't even come to him. He sends a messenger to him, you know. Oh, yes, to give him the message. But what a message it is. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh, yes, he had a message. He had an answer to the terrible dilemma that Naaman was in. But Naaman's immediate response was to be extremely angry. It tells us in verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Oh, he wasn't going to obey. Oh my, this was ridiculous. This is what he expected, and oh my, he was insulted by this. And he wasn't going to do it. But praise the Lord, his servants saw it a different way. And obviously, it tells us in verse 13, they came to him. It says in verse 13, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" Actually, it was just a simple act of obedience that was expected of him. Oh, it wasn't what Naaman was expecting at all. But it was simple. Just to go to that river and wash 7 times, to dip himself 7 times in that Jordan River. And the promise was that he would be made clean, that leprosy would leave him. A simple act of obedience. You know, there's parallels in the Old Testament, are there not? And you know, I think this, oh yes, is parallel to the command to be baptized in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes, even though this is a simple command, sometimes people kick up a fuss and rebel against it and refuse to do it. Reasons one way or the other. But God has expectations. And oh yes, sometimes he allows these things to test us and to try us. Oh yes, our walk with God is contingent upon obedience. God expects obedience. And yes, as we come to him, we come to him in faith. And we come to him in repentance. But oh yes, there is that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes, oh my, people get all upset and insulted. And oh yes, instead of obeying the simple command, refuse. And here it is in the scripture, this Naaman, when he first heard what Elisha the prophet had told him to do, he rebelled against it. He was just utterly outraged over what he had been told to do. But praise the Lord, his servants realized that, hey, listen, this isn't so hard. You just go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times into that river, and you'll be clean. It's the answer. Oh, how precious it is when we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'll praise the Lord. Oh, yes, not only are our sins forgiven, but they are remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. We are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's likened unto being buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. What a precious opportunity it is. Oh, how beautiful it is when that simple command is obeyed. Oh, praise the Lord. So Naaman, oh, he came to his senses. And praise the Lord, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, verse 14, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was cleaned. Oh, praise the Lord. He was willing to humble himself. And yes, I'll tell you what, it does take some humility. Oh, yes, to come to the Lord, to admit that we're a sinner and that we need Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own, and our own goodness, our own righteousness is not sufficient. Oh, yes, it takes some humbling. And yes, it takes some humility also to go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, to identify with the Lord, to be buried with Christ. But praise the Lord. Oh, look what happened to Naaman. Oh, yes, when he obeyed this, oh, he came again. Oh, his flesh, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, yes, we were buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism. Oh, those sins are remitted. Oh, they're removed. Oh, they are far from us. All of the past is not only forgiven, but it's remitted. There is no penalty for sin remaining. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, our wonderful God, who so graciously helps us. And yes, Naaman, it tells us here in verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, Elisha said, verse 16, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Oh, look what this did. Oh, my. You know, it turned his heart to the living God. Naaman, the Syrian, all at once he could see. Only he had to say in verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And 19, Elisha said unto him, go in peace. So we departed from him a little way. Praise the Lord. But in this story of Naaman, we just see the great difference. When Naaman relented, oh yes, and when he humbled himself, to go dip himself 7 times in the muddy old Jordan River. Oh, praise the Lord, when he obeyed God. Praise the Lord, what a difference. He was healed, his flesh made clean. Oh, yes, like it was the flesh of a little child. Beautiful, beautiful skin, obviously. And besides that, all the realization, oh, he now knew who the true God was. Oh, yes, now it was in his heart that he was never going to again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices unto any other God, but unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how beautiful it is when obedience follows. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament now. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the 9th chapter of John here. And here we have a story. And I'm not going to read the whole 9th chapter of John, but let's just see what these events are here. It tells us in John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, it's a big question of the day because, yes, they considered these kind of infirmities to be because of sin. But Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And praise the Lord. Yes, this, oh, wonderful words here that Jesus spoke. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he was going to do one of the wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, that God could be revealed, that God could be manifest through that work. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 6, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seen." Oh, praise the Lord. You see, with this story here, this man who was blind from his birth, Jesus didn't just lay hands on him and say, "Be thou able to see." No, there was something he had to do. There was a commission that he had to obey before that sight would come forth. And in this case, Jesus spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle, and then he took that spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with that clay. And then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And praise the Lord, this man obeyed the scene. Oh, yes, they wouldn't have gone anywhere at all if he would say, "Oh, I can't go there. That's ridiculous. That's too silly." But no, thank the Lord, he went his way, therefore. He obeyed the command. He was obedient. And he washed. And praise the Lord, he came back seeing. Praise the Lord, how beautiful it is when people are willing to obey the voice of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's now turn to Luke, the 17th chapter. I know Brother Samuel was at this portion of Scripture on Sunday, but here I want to point out something that really dawned on me as actually Samuel was reading it on Sunday. If we look at the 11th verse here, Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 11, it tells us, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Oh, another leper story. But, oh boy, this is a good one. And it tells us in verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And verse 14 tells us, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And again, I see something amazing here. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, "Be thou cleansed," and instantly it was so, but there was something that they were required to do. And here it was, these 10 that were lepers, and you know, they stood afar off, and obviously, yes, we talk about social distancing. Well, this was definitely social distancing. They were lepers, and they weren't allowed to come close. But anyways, they hear that Jesus is passing by. Praise the Lord, and oh, yes, they had enough knowledge to know that Jesus was the great physician. Jesus was able to heal them. And oh, yes, it tells us they're standing afar off. But they lift up their voices and they cry. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I don't know how many times they cried it. But Jesus heard their cry. Jesus saw them. And you know, He doesn't heal them on the spot. This is something I noticed. He doesn't instantly heal them. Not that He couldn't. But no, He's expecting them to show obedience, a way of faith, to obey what He's going to ask them to do. Just as Naaman, yes, he had to go dip himself in the muddy Jordan River 7 times. And here, Jesus is expecting these lepers to go show themselves unto the priest. Let's read it. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Praise the Lord. Yes, there was a requirement. There was something they had to obey. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord, all 10 of them. When Jesus told them to go show themselves unto the priest, they left to do exactly that. I don't know at what moment it was, but somehow as they went, it tells us, as they went, as they obeyed, as they went forth to do what Jesus had asked them to do, they were cleansed. Praise the Lord. Oh, that faith, that response to obedience. As they went, they were cleansed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, could it be that there's responses that the Lord expects of us too? Oh, yes, our God is not limited. He can do it however He wants. But He is God, and He knows our inner man. He knows all things about us, and He knows what it takes, oh, yes, to bring us to that place where we're really submitted unto Him. Where He's glorified in that which He does. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, what an event here. These 10 lepers who were outcasts and, oh, couldn't live among the others who had no hope in this world as they obeyed what Jesus told them to do as they went their way to show themselves unto the priest. God healed them, and they were cleansed. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Oh, there's no shame. There's no embarrassment. Oh, yes, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Oh, praise the Lord. I love this response. Oh, this Samaritan man. Oh, he'd been a leper. And as he was going to show himself to the priest, he realized, oh, he was cleansed. His skin was clean. It was pure again. Oh, yes, he was made whole. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And he returned. Oh, this was just so beautiful. This was so wonderful. And oh, I have to show my thanks. I have to give thanks to the one that, oh, yes, made this possible. Praise the Lord. Oh, he went. He returned back to Jesus. I don't know how far he had to go. I don't know when it was that it dawned on them that as they went to show themselves unto the priest that they were healed. But, oh, praise the Lord, he realized, I've got to go back and give thanks. Oh, and with a loud voice, glorify God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, he fell down on his face at his feet. Oh, praise the Lord, giving him thanks. It tells us he was a Samaritan. Oh, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord did a work. I believe he not only did a physical work there on that man that was cleansed from his leprosy, but praise the Lord, I believe God did a work in his heart. Praise the Lord, his faith made him whole. Praise the Lord, and that willingness, oh yes, to return and give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, how beautiful it is. Oh, men would only praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Oh, yes, if men would only exalt the Lord and give thanks for all that which God has done. Oh, yes, is that 107th Psalm declares again and again, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Oh, praise the Lord, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God, who sees the need, who hears the cry, who responds to faith. Oh, praise the Lord, but he expects obedience. He expects us to yield our hearts, our lives unto him, and to obey his voice, to obey his will. Oh, yes. They marveled during the ministry of Jesus how the wind and the waves obeyed the voice of the Creator, of the Master, of the Lord Jesus. Oh, they marveled at that. Oh, yes. The creation understands the voice of the Creator, I truly believe. Praise the Lord. But all that men and women would respond to the voice of the Creator. Oh, if there would be that yielding of a heart to Almighty God, that submission, that obedience to the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Just as it was in Jeremiah 7, as it was being told, as God had commanded. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Oh, praise the Lord. That submission to the voice of God, that willingness to obey God and to walk in his ways. Oh, how God turns that around. How God uses that. Oh, yes, to make that kind of submission. Oh, a person. Oh, yes, that he considers to be his son or his daughter. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's read a little of it here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Oh my, so many people compromise. So many people do not fully submit unto the Lord. Oh yes, they want to be called children of the Lord. They want to be called a Christian. They want to say, Lord, Lord. But oh my, they may still have idolatry in their lives. But oh my, here is declared, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord, O the Lord, who walks and talks to his people and dwells in them. Oh, yes, sending forth the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that he might dwell in the midst of his people, dwell in their hearts. And yes, that they would be his own sons and daughters. Verse 17 here says, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, He's expecting us to separate ourselves from the world. Oh, yes, we're going to be different if we've truly given our lives to the Lord. We're not going to talk like they do. We're not going to think like they do. We're not going to act like they do. We're not going to dress like they do. No, He's telling us to come out from among them and be separate. Oh, yes, we don't want to touch the abominable. Oh, no, we don't want to go with their filthy lies, their filthy jokes, their filthy thinking, all the disgusting things that they do. No, we're told, we're commanded. This is a command. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, yes, there's a turning around from the things of this world. Oh, yes, there's a rejection of all those filthy things that we once were engaged in, once did. Oh, yes, all those concepts and all those precepts. But praise the Lord receives such a person and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're told in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, yes, the wonderful plan of God, that He would put His Spirit within us so that He could lead us. Oh, yes, He led the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But no, He leads us in His new covenant by the leading of His Spirit. Oh, the fact that He put His Spirit within our beings. Oh, yes, so that we can be led by the Spirit of the living God, so that we can hear His voice talking to our hearts. Oh, say, this is a way, walking in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, oh, yes, fear the Lord. Keep His commandments. He's going to put His laws, His ways in our inner man. Oh, praise the Lord, so we can follow after Him and obey His voice and be submissive to the voice of God, to the will of God. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 15 here in Romans 8, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, praise the Lord. He makes us His own. We're His adopted children. We're His sons and daughters. He bought us with the price of His blood. Oh, yes. There on the cross, that's what He was doing. He was redeeming His people. He was buying them. Oh, He was giving us an opportunity to come to Him, to believe. Oh, yes, to turn from our willful disobedience. To repent, oh yes, to obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, and to receive the spirit of adoption. Oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, praise the Lord, Daddy, 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 Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, praise the Lord. All the suffering of this world is but for a moment. No, it's all going to end. You know, life is short. Oh, yes, like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. But oh, yes. There's something called eternity. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, yes, if we're obedient to the will of God. Oh, yes, if we're submissive to Him. Oh, praise the Lord. If we're His sons and daughters, then, oh, yes, We're joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that spirit of adoption. Oh, yes, and not the spirit of bondage. Oh, that was our old life. And, oh, we are full of fears and apprehension and all this is and that, and walked in that realm of fear. But no, He put the spirit of adoption within us. Oh, yes, so that we could be the children of the living God. We could cry, Abba, Father. Oh, that term of endearment, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift we've been given as joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise our wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Going here to the 12th chapter as we get ready to close here tonight. Romans chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Paul writing here to the Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Praise the Lord. He calls us to that special walk with Him. Oh, yes, so that, yeah, we come out from among them. We're going to be His own chosen people, His own peculiar treasure. And therefore, we come to Him. What can we give Him? We give Him our lives. We make our lives a living sacrifice. In other words, we're subjecting ourselves to the will of God. What He wants us to do. How He wants us to live. His will. We submit it unto God. And so, therefore, we present our bodies unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which He tells us, this is what God expects, which is your reasonable service. This is what God expects, that we would yield our lives to God and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God, what you would have me to do, what you would have me to say, where you would have me to go, how you would have me to dress, Lord. All of that, we're subject unto God. Our bodies become a living sacrifice as we obey Him, as we submit to the will of God. And verse 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That is what He expects of us. Oh, we're obedient to the will of God, to the call of God. There's different requirements. We're all individuals. It's not the same for everyone as far as how God will have us, you know, to react necessarily. Oh, yes, there's the expectation that we must believe. Oh, yes, that we must repent, that we must be baptized. Oh, yes, that we need to be filled with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But, you know, we all will, you know, just, you know, have a little different way of going forth to do the will of God. But for sure, it's not by conformity to this world. No, we are to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We're not conformed to this world. We're not to think like they do and act like they do and talk like they do. But no, praise the Lord, He gives us the Holy Ghost to transform us, to change us, to make us His own sons and daughters. Oh, yes, so that by the renewing of our minds, oh, praise the Lord, by giving our minds over to God, submitting our minds unto God, and, oh, yes, by reading His Word, by applying His Word, obeying His Word. Oh, yes. It all helps to renew our minds. Praise the Lord. And through all of that, through that living, that submissive living, giving our life over to the Lord, making our bodies, therefore, a living sacrifice, we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. There is no other way to do it. No, we could not do it of our own self, of our own education or our own intellect or own abilities. No, it's by turning our lives over to God, by submitting them unto God and allowing Him to take us and change us and transform us by the renewing of our minds. Praise the Lord, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That obedience to the will of God. Oh, yes, those expectations He has of His people. But all the dividends He pays. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, if we're willing to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Oh, yes, He promised He would receive us. Praise the Lord, and we'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful things that He has prepared for His people. Oh, yes, if we will be obedient to the will of God, submitting our lives to the mighty hand of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Work in us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Change us. Help us to conform to Thy will, Lord. Oh, God, fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, that transforming Spirit of the living God. And help us to submit unto Thee day by day and hour by hour, Lord, that we might do Your will and prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Help us, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the wonderful blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to number 57 in the melody of the praise hymnal tonight and sing Trust and Obey, number 57. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will know. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise the Lord. God bless you all, be safe, and have a good night.